Welcome to Carittles. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, how to demonstrate meeting engagement, video conferencing edition.
The questions this cast answers are, how can I demonstrate engagement during video calls? What can I do to stay engaged during meetings? And why does it matter that I'm on camera during meetings?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
We know it's cold, but we love Canada. So we'll be in Ottawa February 4th and 5th for an EMC and ECC. Come to our conferences, get trained on how to manage teams and communicate with colleagues. February 4th and 5th, Effective Manager and Effective Communicator events in Ottawa. Come see us by signing up at manager-tools.com/training.
When I started writing this podcast, I thought about meetings and conferencing, and the first thing that went into my mind was my Zoom screen and not a meeting room. It seems that in the last, since the pandemic, the meaning of meeting now means a video meeting because they're so much more common than in-person meetings. And at the beginning of the pandemic, when we first had to do video meetings, we were all super careful. I remember having conversations about ring lights and what colors show up on the screen and all sorts of things. And we all were very conscious of being early, of making sure our tech worked like 20 minutes before a meeting. And we were worried about the software and didn't know where to press and what things did what. And really unaccustomed to being on camera and seeing our face as well as seeing other people's faces through a camera, which is different to being online. But like everything, we've grown used to it. It's like buying a new car. At the first, you baby it and you take it to the garage and you take it to the car wash and you have it shined like by hand because you don't want those nasty brushes scratching things. And then after a while, like every new car, it becomes your car and you don't worry about cleaning it, and there's, you know, rubbish and trash inside it because we don't have time to clean it up, and it's just our car. And the same thing happens with video conferencing. There was that time when it was the new car and we were really looking after it, and now it's just the thing we do, and we've kind of forgotten some of those etiquette things or things that made it easier in the beginning that could still be useful. So this is both a list of recommendations for video meetings, but also an opportunity to reset your behavior or think again about the way you're doing video conferencing, the way you're showing up, and whether or not that's the most effective way to do it.
So what we're going to cover today is first, be early, then camera on, and maintain alert and attentive body language. Then take notes, and finally, contribute to the discussion.
Pretty easy, so especially be early. So arriving to meetings on time, or better yet, early, because there's benefits to being early, is a sign of your respect and professionalism. Like, you don't turn up late to funerals because that's disrespectful. Kind of the same things with meetings, but I hope you have less. Oh, and obviously, there's some nuance here. There are always times when we're late because a meeting runs over or we have a technical issue and, you know, the technology refuses to work and you have to shut down your whole system before it'll do anything again. Or maybe you went out to lunch and the meeting's after lunch and the errand that you took longer than you thought it was going to. And all of those things, like, everybody is late for a meeting every now and again. But if you are consistently late to a meeting or more than one meeting, it kind of gives the impression that you're not interested in the meeting at all. And that's not a good impression to be giving if you're career focused.
Yeah, and I don't know about everybody else, but the one time that I show up exactly on time is exactly when my technology fails me. Or when I'm like, oh, it's fine every time, and then I don't show up early, that's when everything goes awry.
Yeah.
And then you're stressed. Like, going into the meeting stressed is never a fun thing. And I mean, for many organizations, being on time now means joining the call at that exact scheduled start. For 3 o'clock, you're going to sign in, hit that attend button right at 3 o'clock for that meeting. So let's call that essentially the good standard.
It's better than being late.
Yeah, right. We're going to call that the good standard. It says my clock still says 3. I'm logged in at 3. That's the good standard, right? However, the better standard is going to be to join a few minutes early. And that's not 10 minutes early. It's even just 2 to 3 minutes, just so you are set and ready to go right at that time and make sure everything's working. Arriving early not only gives you a chance to resolve technical issues, you can open the necessary documents, you can organize your notes, but also demonstrates that you value the other people's time. And that's the big takeaway. It's about the other people's time. If others arrive early, you'll also have some time for that relationship building, because we always circle back to the relationships. But even if no one else joins early, they'll notice that you're already on there when they arrive, which signals your commitment and gives a positive overall impression.
And like we said, you probably can't do it every single time. But if your standard is to be a couple of minutes early, you reap the benefits of having that calm start and being able to chat and all of those things. Next, camera on, which is a little bit controversial. So we'll explain why and then we'll give you some outs. So the easiest and most impactful way to say, I'm here, I'm paying attention, I'm ready to contribute, is to have your camera on during the video meeting, because people can then see you are there, you are ready, and you're ready to speak. But the standard in many companies has become camera off. So just turning your camera on is enough to make you stand out. I read a bunch of stuff while I was looking at this topic of people that said, I only turn my camera on if there's a VP or higher on the call, which seems like a really odd thing to make your standard, right? But if you want to demonstrate that you're enthusiastic, then have your camera on as much as possible.
And there are always some valid reasons to have your camera off. And for some examples, something in the background would be distracting to other meeting participants. Like maybe there's something that catches the camera and you need to shut it off. The camera usage is affecting the connection quality, which is essentially causing lag and impacting the rest of the meeting or impacting your ability to participate in the meeting. There's an unannounced meeting and you're not dressed appropriately. One of those ad hoc meetings, the late addition that maybe you were just getting back from an errand or something that you're not quite ready for.
Yeah, if there's a planned meeting, we'd hope you were dressed appropriately. But sometimes there, you know, somebody just pings you.
I think of it, the emergency meeting that happens 30 minutes before you're technically ready to be at your desk
yes,
in the morning.
Yes,
like, that yes, too. I can be there, but...
but you can't see me. I don't want you to see me.
Yeah. My hair is still in a towel, right? It's a big all-hands type meeting where multiple cameras would be distracting. So when you have hundreds of people on a call, having those cameras on can be distracting. So use your best judgment, but know that people that are presenting in meetings appreciate your camera on and you do stand out. And it's so much easier to make those connections because if long-term you want to go farther in your career, it's about the connections and those relationships.
And people always say it's nice to put a face to a name. And if you're not ever on camera, then people don't put your face to your name. And so they don't know who you are as well when perhaps your name is floated for a promotion. So those are all good reasons to have the camera off for a single meeting, potentially, but not for it to be your general rule. So we want your general rule to be I'm on camera. Because apart from anything, your nonverbal behaviors can be seen when you're on camera. Things like nodding and smiling, the things that make a meeting feel congenial and collaborative and connected, all of those nonverbal behaviors are hidden if you're not on the camera. It's also a way to express respect for your colleagues. Like you're showing up in a way that you would for an in-person meeting. Because what they're delivering is the same information. What they're trying to get out of that meeting, if they're presenting, is the same as in an in-person meeting. So why would you not, as far as you can, simulate the in-person engagement that you would show? And if you have legitimate reasons to keep your camera off for a specific meeting, share them with whoever is presenting or depends who the meeting's with. If it's your team, you might feel comfortable saying, I went to the doctor's, they ran late, I'm not dressed, I'm going to leave my camera off this time. If it's a more serious meeting, you might just want to tell the meeting person, you know, the leader of the meeting, hey, I'm not going to be on camera this time. I had an issue at home. But it gives the transparency and it improves trust that you're not just turning your camera off because you don't want to be in this meeting and you're not enthusiastic about it. There is a reason.
Can you be respectful, engaged, present, and invested without your camera on? Of course. We know that. But turning the camera on achieves the communication of all of that with barely any effort. So have your camera on. So you just naturally show that communication, that engagement, that you would have to be more, I would feel like, intentional if your camera was off, like chatting more in the Slack because, or the channel, because no one can see what you're doing, right? To show engagement instead of just nodding and smiling and being there.
And next, now you're on camera, people can see you. We want to have alert and attentive body language. There used to be a thing that said, be alert. Your country needs alerts. Every time I see the word alert, it makes me giggle. I don't know, it's fries like the 50s or 60s. It's something my dad used to say. But anyway, your country needs alerts. But on video calls, your body language is the major factor in demonstrating attentiveness, just like it is in an in-person meeting. So first of all, sit up straight rather than slouching or leaning back. And if you have a chair, an office chair with a tilt, if you turn the tilt off so that you have like a solid back, like that doesn't disappear from you when you lean back, that makes it easier because you can feel that you're sitting up. And if you make sure that the back of the chair is against your back, right from the top, like from the seat all the way up to the sort of as far as it goes, like usually your shoulders, you know you're sitting up, you can feel it, and then you can relax it against the back and you won't disappear as long as that tilt is gone. It's a nice, easy way. Like, am I sitting up? Yes, I must be because I can feel the back of the chair.
Mm-hmm. And it's easier to let your posture slide when you're at home. In an in-person meeting, you probably wouldn't rest your head on your hands, but we've all seen plenty of people do that on video. There's something comforting about being at home that you can just let it slide a little bit more. And then when you catch yourself on camera, you're like, oh no, I need to sit up. But in a conference room, you're sitting up. And also, I would say posture helps with just being alert. The more you sit up, the more attention you have to what's going on. If you are slouching and putting your hand and resting it, you know, you're more likely to close your eyes. Not that you mean to, right? We're not saying anyone's doing it on purpose, but good posture forces you to be more alert in the situation. So sitting up, but just be aware of that. And if your camera's on, you can see what you're doing and what other people are also seeing.
Exactly. Sometimes I turn it off so that I can't see my own image, especially for long meetings. I find that very hard. But having it on is an advantage because you can see what everyone else can see. And it will catch your eye when you start to slouch or whatever. And while you have that image on, just make sure you're in the middle of the frame and not so far away that it's hard to see you and not so close that only your face is there. Because both are uncomfortable for meeting participants. What we're trying to simulate is like the natural amount of space that we leave between ourselves when we're in a conversation. And we don't have conversations with people on the other side of the room. Like, we don't yell at people across the room in general. And we don't have conversations when we're sort of very, very close together, not family. So we're trying to make it seem like it's the same sort of distance that it would be in an in-person meeting.
With your camera on, make sure you make eye contact. When you are speaking, look into the camera to help simulate eye contact. When listening, focus on the screen rather than letting your eyes wander. How I like to do this is whoever is talking, I make sure is in the middle top right by my video. So when I'm watching them, my camera is catching my eye contact. So they know, because it's really obvious if you're looking down in your corner. Even though you might be watching the person, it's kind of an easy way to kind of fix your eye gaze. And so just keep in mind that if you're looking around the room or you're flipping through those browser tabs, it's definitely more obvious than you think.
Everybody thinks they can't be seen. It's like some cone of invisibility that you think is there. It's not there. Just like you can tell other people are not paying attention, they can tell you're not paying attention too, right?
Yeah.
Welcome to the renewed energy that comes with the new year. The market is heating up, and Manager Tools is here to help you make the most of the motivation you've got for new career changes. Our interviewing series has helped thousands land their dream jobs, and it can help you too. From making a good first impression, all the way through how to handle an offer. The interviewing series is your step-by-step guide covering the entire process of interviewing in over 60 podcasts, over 20 videos, and a full written library. Let us help you land your next job by becoming a Career Tools licensee today. Visit us online at manager-tools.com/licenses to learn more about becoming a Career Tools licensee.
Next, practice your facial expressions, which sounds really weird. It's like, oh, I'm going to go to acting school. But your facial expressions communicate more than you realize, even when you're not thinking about them. And so what can happen is you're in the meeting, you're watching what's going on, you are paying attention, but you're not thinking about what your face is doing, and your face kind of goes to this like slightly glazed over look. So in order to avoid appearing checked out accidentally, you want to practice showing reactions that reflect your interest in the discussion, which feels kind of weird and deliberate at first, but over time it becomes more natural. So it's just a case of like every now and again thinking, what is my face saying? Like, have I fallen into resting face? Because a lot of our resting faces, including mine, says something I wouldn't, not that I wouldn't want to say, but even that I don't actually mean to communicate. Like, it's not how I feel. It's just the way my face is, as it is for many people. So I have to pay attention to what I'm doing. Every now and again, I have to ask myself, like, what's my face saying?
Yeah, and when your video's on, you can check in on yourself. It's a very quick way of what are other people seeing, which is almost more helpful than when you're in an in-person meeting, because you have no idea what your face is doing. At least I don't. I do know when people ask me what's wrong that my resting face has come out. But at least on video, I can check in and say, okay, you know, I am paying attention, but are my non-communication modes still working as well? And as we become more comfortable with video meetings, it's easy to let those expressions relax, which can sometimes give off that wrong impression or unintentionally reveal negative emotions. So we talked about, we don't do it on purpose, but also sometimes you want to mask some of those negative reactions, and your camera on can actually help you do that. Paying attention to how your face reflects your thoughts can make sure you're sending the right message. It can also help you practice, right? You can give yourself immediate feedback on what you are doing during meetings. So when people are constantly asking me what's wrong, I'm like, okay, I know I'm making that face and I know I should just smile more and nod, because that helps me not go into my resting face. Even though I'm happy to be there and I don't have the negative, sometimes I do. So we smile and nod. So it's good practice.
Yeah. And that negative thing is like, it's not necessarily something major. It could be, it's too early and my coffee hasn't kicked in yet, you know, and you just don't want to convey that, especially to a 10 o'clock meeting or 11 o'clock meeting, right? That seems a little late to be still waking up, but sometimes we are. So next is make supportive statements. So saying things like, or good idea, or great job, or just smiling and nodding are all things that we do naturally when we're in a face-to-face conversation. We'll kind of make those noises, I guess. They're not even those kind of things. And in video meetings, because we often have the microphone off as well as the video, those statements can't be heard. So this is one good reason to keep the microphone on. At Manager Tools, we always have the microphones on unless there's a noise in the background that's distracting. So if somebody's in an airport, for example, then they don't keep their microphone on, because obviously we wouldn't be able to hear over the noise of, you know, 1,000 people moving around. But in general, having the microphones on means that the person who's presenting can hear everybody say, oh, good, and well done, and great job, whatever supportive things we're saying. It also means it delays the meeting less when you have a question, because the person can hear the first word that you say rather than faffing around, like trying to turn the microphone on. And then it's like, they've already done three more sentences and you have to go back. And whereas if I say Amanda, she can hear that right away and stop, mm-hmm. ready for my question. So if you find video meetings annoying because they drag on, that's one reason to keep your microphone on.
Yeah, those quick responses. And sometimes you can see people trying to unmute.
Yes.
Like, oh, I can't help you. Just stay off. And if you need to, mute yourself and then come back on. Just help the conversation going. Next is take notes. Take your own handwritten notes during meetings, even if you have access to all that AI note-taking and recording tools. I know the technology is vast out there, but we still recommend those handwritten notes. When other people in a meeting see you taking notes, it sends a clear signal that you're actively engaged in the discussion. When they can't see you writing, attendees may be unsure whether you're using AI tools or simply not engaged enough to take notes yourself. I don't know if you've ever been in the meeting when you're like, hey, you might want to write that down. Yes. Like, did you catch that?
Yes.
Right. I know I'm like, hey, this isn't on the slides. No one's doing. Okay, cool. We'll come back to it. And they might be taking meeting or notes. But when you can see someone write down, you're like, okay, I know they got it. I can move on.
And as a presenter, that's really nice, a really comforting thing, right? Because you're presenting for a reason. You want people, you're trying to convey information, and knowing that someone's got it is like, that's the whole point of you going to the effort of being there and speaking.
Yeah. I would say that's at any meeting, right?
Exactly.
If someone's on the agenda, their information is important, and it's really nice feedback to know that it at least got across and people have it written down somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we know that many of you like to type your notes. So we're going to give you one more plug for handwritten notes. So first, writing by hand helps you retain information better. That's science has been testing that forever. And I guess since typewriters were invented, they've been testing that. And every time they test it, people who handwrite their notes retain the information. But secondly, I saw some new research on handwritten notes that shows that there's a significant increase in brain activity when you handwrite, because you're having to control your hands in a different way and you're having to form the letters, and it alerts all these different parts of your brain in a way that typing doesn't. And so that means that not only are you demonstrating your engagement, but you're also increasing your own focus and reducing the likelihood of distraction, right? Your brain is actually focused on what you're doing. And so you're less likely to be distracted and you're less likely to kind of drift off. For those of us who tend to drift off, if you're focused on writing down what somebody is saying and all of those brain bits are focused on that task, then you're less likely to be distracted and to go into resting face and all these things that we've said that we want to avoid.
Lastly, let's talk about contributing to the discussion. Obviously, the clearest signal that you could send that you're paying attention is to actually contribute to the discussion and take part in it. The person who is asked a question and just looks blank before saying, I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Is definitely not who everyone has assumed is engaged, even if they have their camera on. So it's easy to be engaged with your camera on, but you also have to contribute so people know that you're actively engaged. So yeah. Don't be that person.
And don't worry too much about speaking over someone else, because that's kind of what happens in video meetings and everybody's sort of got used to that two people will speak at the same time and one will go, you know, someone will say, no, you go first or whatever. And so it would be better to demonstrate your engagement by speaking and speaking over someone else than by not speaking and not saying anything during the entire meeting. Other people in the meeting either think, why were you there? Because clearly you didn't bring any value, or you weren't engaged, or you didn't have any thoughts, or you know, you didn't want to contribute, none of which are good for you if you're career focused. And if you don't have something to add, then you can ask for clarification, like, oh, does X mean Y? Or did you mean this by what you just said? Or you could just support other people's points and say, I agree with Jim. And at least the people in the meeting have heard your voice. Because there's lots of people who will go through meetings like for a whole year and not say a word. And when their names are floated at the end of the year for performance reviews and promotions, you know, the other people, more senior people potentially, are like, I don't know who that person is, or I've never heard her say anything. Like, does she speak? Which is not fair, because that's probably not your performance, but it's how they judge, because that's where they've seen you and that's where they've expected to see your engagement. So when I was writing this, the phrase actions have consequences was the one that came to mind, which many people find reasons to stay off camera or remain on mute or multitask during meetings. But I saw a survey that said 92% of US executives surveyed believe that employees who frequently stay on mute or leave their cameras off during virtual meetings likely don't have a long-term future at the company. And that might be your team's culture. It might be you have reasons for not wanting to be on camera, which is fine, but actions have consequences. And the consequence may be if one of those executives is asked about your future with the company, they don't see it. And even more, 43% of the people that were asked suspected that the employees were distracted, that they were browsing the internet, that they were using social media, that they were texting, that they were doing something else. And again, that's not necessarily fair, because just because you've got the camera off doesn't mean you're doing something else. But they can make assumptions because they don't have any evidence to the contrary. So whether this guidance is new to you or serves as a reminder of professional video meeting etiquette, we all go to so many meetings in a week. We have plenty of opportunity to demonstrate our commitment to the team and encourage collaboration and cooperation with our fellow team members. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks, everyone. That's all for this week. Join us next week as we cover a new topic.
Bye.